Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
To Chris and Bo.
With more of The Other Side of the Glass with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dogs all rolling. Up 21-0 on South Carolina. I believe that was Stetson Bennett to Brock Bowers in the corner of the end zone for their latest touchdown. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to get to a sound check. He says it didn't feel so good. And does the rumor mill start all over again? But before we get into that, I'm going to bring in producer Dom here for just a minute. I was watching Thursday Night Football, and something dawned on me, Dom. I thought it looked good. I thought it sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
Herb Street and Al Michaels were fine to good. Good game, obviously. But there's a fundamental flaw if football is going to go to streaming, and we need to fix it now.
Okay, what's that flaw?
You can't switch the damn channel. If you're using a smart TV like I was, I'm locked into Amazon because my cable is not on a box. It's on an app. My smart TV is entirely smart. I ditched the cable box when I moved into my new apartment. So if I want to check in on something else going on, or if I want to flip back and forth, I need to exit the damn app and then go to my cable app and open that up. And by the time I do that, the game's back on. So somebody out there needs to invent a way that you can switch back and forth between these streaming services inside the smart TV. Because, Dom, we got a problem.
Well, you know, this is all by design, because you're not going to switch away because, again, you don't want to miss the game, and it's just going to take too long. So now you're forced to sit there. You're forced to watch our ads, which is eventually going to force you to buy things. It's all psychological warfare.
I'm going to switch the damn channel, and I'm going to figure out a way to do it. I'm not getting another TV just to be able to switch between, you know, Fox and CBS and whatever else is going on.
Yeah.
Someone needs to figure this out ASAP. If you're having the same problem, let me know. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. It's also the number to call in. I don't like it. I don't like not being able to watch what I want when I want to watch it. That's what we've become accustomed to.
Yeah.
And even going back and forth, back in the day, when it was on over-the-air TV, you could always switch back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're stuck.
Yeah.
You're stuck. So what do I do? Do I check Twitter? Do I check TikTok? Do I answer texts? Do I look at work emails? What am I doing during these commercial breaks? I'm not watching the damn commercials.
That's typically what I do. That's because whenever I'm watching football, everyone, all of my friends, my family, they know that is zero dark 30 for me. I'm watching football. Like, it's the same thing for, like, when I watch, like, Game of Thrones or House of Dragons or anything like that. Like, don't talk to me, don't text me, don't call me, because you will be ignored. So commercial breaks for me are fine, because that's when I can catch up, you know, look, scroll through Twitter, see what's going on, stuff like that.
So you're fine with this?
I'm fine with it because, like I said, I have something else to occupy my time.
You see, I don't – these windows are too tight. You know, they're back in two and a half minutes. I don't know. I don't like it. Somebody needs to invent a way to be able to switch between the apps on the smart TV and not have to log out and log back in and switch between. It's a nightmare.
I do agree with that. There needs to be a way where we can seamlessly transition from one app to the other without having to go back to home, log in.
Right, because now that live TV is on your smart TV,
yeah,
that's a game changer. It's not just like you're watching Netflix. Mm-hmm. You're not going to switch between Netflix and Amazon. You're going to just watch whatever you're going to watch.
Right.
But if you're like me and your actual cable is on your smart TV too, then you got a problem.
Yeah.
All right, let's seamlessly transition, as you said, into a sound check.
Chris and Bo react to the best sounds from the best athletes and coaches in the A and beyond.
You're not listening.
It's time for sound check on the other side of the glass. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, obviously no Bo today, but I will do my part to be angry and bitter, as Bo often is on this show. Let's start with Tom Brady. Tom came out this week and was asked by reporters, hey, you know, you're 45 or 44 going on 45. How does it feel to wake up after a game? And this,
there's a huge level of commitment for your body physically at an older age because it requires so much more care. Now, it requires care when you're younger too, but at the same time, there's no margin of error when you're 45. You know, you take hits and you feel every hit. When you're younger, you have your body's a lot different. And when you're 45, your body changes a lot. So what am I dealing with now? I woke up today going, holy shit, that was a, you know, there was a few hits, and you know, you look at your arm and you got bruises, you got cuts, and you got, you know, the way it is, and you go, okay, how much longer do I want to make this commitment? And I obviously made the commitment for this year, and everything's going to be, you know, like always, continue to evaluate, you know, all these different aspects of playing.
All right, so this is now, Dom, correct me if I'm wrong, twice in 2 weeks since he came back from camp or to camp, that he's made reference to the fact that he's old and there's a lot of bleep going on.
Yep.
He's liked to say that phrase particularly. So, as he addressed in the cut, he opened the rumor mill back up. And this is my thing, guys. Tom, if you're going to come back, just come back and play football. Don't invite that conversation back into our lives, because you're going to get asked about it every single week. As long as you keep answering questions like that, the reporters are going to keep asking. They're going to chip away and try to get to the bottom of what's going on in your life, in your marriage, with your body, with your future plans for your career, if you want to go to the Dolphins, if you want to go somewhere else. I mean, I think Tom needs to take a page out of the Bill Belichick playbook here and just keep his mouth shut. All right, next up. One guy who did not have a good week one is Aaron Rodgers. The Packers looked, well, awful. Really bad. No connection with his new wide receivers. Misses Davante Adams clearly a lot right now. And Sean Payton, of all people, now analyst, had a very, very, very interesting opinion on one Mr. Rodgers and the Packers.
Drives me crazy. Here's the thing. I didn't think he played well. I didn't think Aaron played well. But ultimately, when you watch that game, if you looked at the offensive and defensive lines, the fronts of both teams, I think that battle was won on both sides of the ball by Minnesota. And then the rest was a byproduct of what we saw in the game. So one quarterback was under duress. The other had more time. All the other things then become more problematic when you're losing that battle up front. But yeah, I agree with you. And then after the game, we go to the interview in the locker room, and the very first question posed to Aaron was about bouncing back, and he referenced the first play of the game, the drop pass to the rookie, and I thought, come on. And I like Aaron Rodgers, but I didn't like what I saw. Yeah, and I the whole pregame with the Zen stuff, just like, enough. I want to see, you know, every once in a while, all of us need to be checked, don't we?
Sean, you just became a favorite of mine now that you're not coaching the damn Aints anymore. I like Sean Payton unhinged. I didn't know that was in there somewhere.
Well, here's the thing. And I know, because Sean Payton's from the Bill Parcells coaching tree. So, like, Bill Parcells was known to be very hard on his players. So if Sean Payton is coming out and saying he basically doesn't like how Aaron Rodgers handled that post-game, basically talking down on the receivers, that says a lot. Because Sean Payton, like I said, he comes from that Bill Parcells coach tree. He's known for being hard on his players and expecting a lot. So for him to come out and basically publicly say that, like, Aaron, you were wrong for doing that, speaks volume, in my opinion.
Get those ugly Saints colors off of him, and he's a brand new man. Look at that. So here's the next question that needs to be asked. What happens now for the Packers? Because last year, if you remember, they also got smoked in week one, but then I think they went on to win, I believe it was 7 straight games in a row after that. So I know there's no Devontae Adams, but if you're Mr. Rodgers in his neighborhood, you can point to last year and say, hey, guys, calm down. But frankly, I don't think this team is as good as last year's team.
No. So the thing that concerned me more, because, like, you're basically replacing 2 guys on your team in Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Devontae Adams. You're replacing them with rookies, basically. Like, you have Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. They will figure that out as this offense goes on. I think this offense will be fine moving forward. What worries the hell out of me was this defense. How does Justin Jefferson get that open that many times in this game? And this defense was supposed to be a powerhouse. This defense was supposed to be the best part of this team. And
yeah, I drafted them in my fantasy league.
And
not a good move week one.
Week one, it didn't pay off. So they got to figure that out. That, to me, was more concerning. Just the fact that they had no answer. And granted, Minnesota has a very talented offense, but they had no answer for it.
From one debacle to another, let's take it back to Monday Night Football. The Russell Wilson Bowl, he comes home to Seattle, he gets booed loudly, then the game starts, no offense, no rhythm, then they have a chance to win it at the end, 4th and 5, they decide to kick a field goal instead of go for it, miss field goal, Nathaniel Hackett, bum, what happened?
No, he knew where we had to get. I thought Javonte made it amazing. I was expecting to have to go for it on that down and distance, because I believe we were about 3rd and 14, 3rd and 15. I thought Javonte made an incredible play and put us in the field goal range, the mark that we were looking for.
You paid $200 million to Russell Wilson to do exactly what the situation called for. Give him the ball, let him continue to drive you down the field, and win the dang game. I cannot believe a coach had a foray into the NFL that ended like that. It's going to be really hard, unless the Broncos roll from here on out, for him to shake that.
I can't explain how incensed I was watching this game. Like, everything about this statement I hate. One, why? Because he says, well, we got to our mark. So you're telling me that your mark for where you felt comfortable was a 65-yard field goal?
No.
Why? Why is that the mark? That's the first problem. Secondly, it's 4th and 5. You have Russell Wilson, in my opinion, one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the league, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, championship winner, in Seattle, facing his former team after he asked for a trade. You, who you are paying $240-plus million, you should never, it should never even be a question between, am I going to put this game in the hands and arm and legs of Russell Wilson to pick up 5 yards, or am I going to put it on Brandon McManus's leg to hit a 65-yard field goal, which only like 4 of those in NFL history have been hit. It makes no sense. And granted, Nathaniel Hackett, first time as a head coach, you're going to go through these growing pains. Yeah, that should never be a conversation.
This is not growing pains, Dom. This is clock, integrity, situational awareness, mismanagement.
Everything.
Everything.
Like,
everything that could have gone as wrong as it possibly did in that sequence.
Because you look at the game, Denver dominated the game when you really watch it. And you look like they moved up and down
the
field.
Yeah, they just couldn't score touchdowns.
They got into the red zone 5 times and only scored 16 points. Like, that's never going to happen again with a Russell Wilson-led team. It's never going to happen again.
All right. That was our sound check NFL edition right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up next, true or false, Falcons edition. Dom's got a 5-pack of questions for me. I'm going to tell you true or false as the Falcons. That is, head into L.A. for week 2. It is the other side of the glass with Chris Thomas right here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's a new age. It's a huge new development. Again, it's not rocket science.
Back to more of The Other Side of the Glass
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so I'm getting a bunch of texts on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. 404-741-0929. It is The Other Side of the Glass with Chris Thomas right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Taking you up until Atlanta United pregame at 3 o'clock. Get a Fire Stick and just switch the input. What am I talking about? Well, it's been 1 week of Thursday Night Football on Amazon, and I'm already really frustrated. Why? You can't switch the damn channel. You're stuck. There's no option if you have a smart TV like I do, where your cable is also in your smart TV, to switch back and forth. So you're either watching stuck on the game or you're watching nothing at all. Because by the time you log out and you log back in, they're back from commercial break anyway. It's a useless exercise. But here's the problem. I appreciate the suggestion. Get a Fire Stick and then just switch the input. I already have a Roku. That's supposed to be the one-stop shop for everything. So now I got to buy another thing with another remote to plug into my TV. I know I'm supposed to be the millennial here who's hip to all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But this is brand new to all of us.
Yeah. Until it's made, I mean, hey, maybe you figure it out. Maybe you invent it and you make millions of dollars. But until it seems like you might be stuck for the time being.
Well, we know who's not going to be stuck this weekend, and it's the Falcons because they're playing the Rams. What do they need to do to win? Dom, let's get to some true and false.
Alrighty. Chris, are you ready?
Tell the truth.
To tell the truth.
All right.
As Will Smith said in that wonderful movie with his terrible South African accent.
Love the imaging there. Good job, though. All right, what do we got?
All righty. So, first up, true or false, Drake London will be the best receiver in his rookie class.
Ooh. Certainly looked like it so far through one game. I'm going to say true. And especially if there becomes more situations like I was talking about this with Joe Patrick a couple minutes ago. If the Falcons don't use Kyle Pitts the way that they did last year, and there are situations where they feel that he's just going to get double covered or spied on and they're going to go elsewhere with their passes, then he's certainly going to get the targets. I mean, he's certainly going to get the opportunity. I mean, Bryan Edwards and OZ are going to get a handful too, but Drake's going to be the number one guy lining up that Mariota's going to look for, especially when he gets flushed out of the pocket because he's got that great reach and he can go out and out jump guys in the middle of the field to make something out of nothing. So, you know, it all depends on what happens with Kyle Pitts, but I'm going to say true.
Okay. Now, I think I know how you're going to lean on this next one based off of older conversations that we've had in the show. Marcus Mariota will start all 17 games.
Let's play this soundbite, and then we'll react to it. This is Marcus Mariota talking about how he feels comfortable or not sliding to avoid tackles and preserve his health.
Over the course of my career, I've been tentative in sliding, and I think for me, I don't want to play that way. I don't want to play tentative. I want to play, you know, fast, and I want to be really just going out there and not worrying about anything. So if it comes naturally to slide, I will, but I'm not going to take away the competitiveness.
Well, I'm sorry, Marcus. If you want to play 17 games this season, that's not going to work. Look at your injury history. Look at what happened in week one. Not only did you not slide the right way to protect yourself, you lost the damn ball. So that's not going to work on multiple fronts. I appreciate the aggressiveness. I appreciate that he wants to get as many yards as possible for his team and put them in scoring position. But you have to play smart. So if he does that, then, yeah, he has a chance. I liked what I saw in week one. But if he's going to go by that soundbite, then no, Drake London's going to be in there, and it may not be because the coach wants him to be.
Desmond Ridder. You said Drake
London. Oh, that's right. Well, Drake London's definitely going to be in there. Desmond Ridder.
If Drake London is playing quarterback for the Falcons at any point this year, things have gone very wrong.
Well, we saw what happened when the Broncos started a wide receiver at quarterback a couple of years ago.
All righty, next question. Cordarrelle Patterson should be the full-time number one running back on this team, true or false?
False. Definitely false on this one. Because he's not going to last. We saw what happened last year when he was asked to carry the full workload for this team. And I know what he did in week one, and that's super sexy. And he was, you know, truck sticking guys and making highlight reel plays. But if you want him to last you the entire season, you're going to need him to do other things. He's going to need to play more receiver, maybe take a return or two, and also get a rest every now and then. Now, with Damian Williams out, they're going to activate Algier. You got Avery Williams as your scat back. It's got to be more of a balanced attack than it was in week one. Otherwise, he's not going to last. And if you lose Dom, if you lose him, the Falcons have no shot. None.
Yeah, I mean, he rushed 22 carries for, 130 yards in week one. Like, I don't think that's sustainable over the course of a season. So I do think you need to spread it out some. But I do think that there is something to him kind of being – I think he will get the lion's share of the carries moving forward, at least after that first week. I don't know how you don't go back to that.
Well, I don't. But the thing is, Dom, I don't know if they can. I don't know if they have the ability to, because he's going to wear down. He's not 24 years old.
Yeah, he's 31.
Yeah, and we saw it happen at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. He was not the same guy at the end of the year that he was at the beginning of the year. And you have to – I mean – it could be a good problem to have because we haven't seen Algier yet. So if he comes out and has a good game on the West Coast and, you know, beats up on the Rams and beats up on the Seahawks and he's a physical back and you can use Williams, you know, as your third down kind of receiving back and mix it up and you got a triple-headed monster, I mean, that's a great problem to have. But you need to manage CP's pitch count. And also, you need to use him as a wide receiver too. He is a threat down there as well. Yeah. We really didn't see it in week one because of Williams getting injured, but he is a weapon, and that could open up things for Drake London, for Kyle Pitts down the field as well.
All righty, next up, and you kind of spoke on this earlier, so I know your answer on this one too. Will the Falcons beat the spread against the Rams? Are you taking the Falcons plus the 10 points against the Rams this Sunday?
I'm going to. And going back to our Ozzie Albies conversation, this is not a heart play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using my head here because of the state of the Rams' offensive line. I think the Falcons are going to be able to do not exactly what they did to the Saints, but I think the Falcons' defense is going to be able to keep the Rams' offense in check for the most part. And if you win by a touchdown, that's for the most part. I can see this game being 31-24, something like that.
Okay.
Because I really do believe that the state of the Rams' offensive line is not exactly what you want.
Right.
To say the least. They're really, really banged up there. So the Falcons need to, absolutely need to take advantage of that if they have any chance of covering or winning this game. And I like what I saw on offense from the Falcons last week through 3.5 quarters. I mean, that's
right.
That's really what it comes down to. So if they can duplicate that to some degree, I mean, there are a lot of similarities between the Rams and the Saints defense. Great defensive line with one standout player, Cam Jordan, Aaron Donald. All-world defensive back, one. All-world safety, one. And a good linebacking core. I think if you could do it against the Saints, you can do it against the Rams. I just think Aaron Donald is such a name that it puts the fear of God into you. But when you look at the Rams' defense as a whole, the sum of the parts is very similar to the one that you just faced. So I think they can do it. True.
Okay, faith in the Falcons. All righty. Now,
I didn't say they'd win the game.
No.
Said,
but
they,
plus 10? Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Now for the fun one. True or false, are the Falcons cursed? Now, I want to I tossed this stat out to you before, and I asked if you could guess how many times it's happened. So, in the Falcons' tenure as a franchise, they have made it to the playoffs 14 times. Can you tell me how many times they lost to the team that would eventually go on to at least play in the Super Bowl?
Oof.
It's 14 times they've made it to the playoffs.
Okay. I mean, the Saints got to be in there. Maybe the Packers. More recently, the Bucks. I'm going to say 8.
So, in the 14 playoffs that the Falcons have made it to, they have played the team. Obviously, they went to 2 Super Bowls, so obviously they played the team that went to the Super Bowl in those 2 years. But they have played the team that went on to play in the Super Bowl or win it 10 times.
Wow.
10 out of 14. First time, 78-79 season against the Dallas Cowboys. Second time was the Washington team back in 91-92, who would go on to win it. They did it again. Obviously, they played the Broncos in the 98-99 season. They lost. The Broncos won. It happened to them with the Eagles in 04-05. They played the Eagles. The Eagles went on to lose that Super Bowl. They played the Cardinals in 08-09. They went on to lose that. The Cardinals would go to the Super Bowl but lost. Then 3 years in a row, from 2010 to 2013, the Packers, Giants, and 49ers, Falcons lost to all of them. All of those teams went to the Super Bowl. Then in 15-16, obviously they played the Patriots.
Right.
And then in 17-18, the Eagles, who went on to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. 10 out of 14 times the Falcons have played the eventual Super Bowl either champ or Super Bowl runner-up in the playoffs. So, true or false, are the Falcons cursed?
No, they're not cursed, but they certainly haven't been able to put the final nail in the coffin, as we all know. I'm not going to mention that fateful day 6 years ago, but
right.
There's a lot of teams that have been, I mean, look at the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
They went four straight years in a row and they didn't win it. Look at the Patriots' perfect season. They lost to an average Giants team. I mean, no, guys, this is going to sound really stupid, but it's true. Newsflash. It's really hard to win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
It's really hard. There's a reason why a lot of the same teams win it every year, because they're good organizations. The Steelers, the Patriots. I mean, name the teams that have multiple Super Bowls. you name it, the Packers. Yeah. Yeah. They're all – the Packers have had over the last, what, 25 years, two quarterbacks.
Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yeah, the Steelers have had three head coaches in their existence.
Yeah.
You know, the Cowboys had the best offense we'd ever seen. Before that, the Rams had the best offense we'd ever seen. So, no, guys, good organizations win a lot in the NFL, and bad organizations lose a lot in the NFL. The Jets, the Lions, the Bears, the Dolphins. It's the same teams every year that suck. That's why when you see something, I'll say this, like when a team like the Bengals last year goes to the Super Bowl, it's so special.
Yeah.
Because 2 years before that, they were doormats.
Yeah.
Then they get Joe Burrow and they draft T. Higgins and everyone else, and then everything, then it's off to the races. So you can turn it around. Falcons fans, you're not cursed. Eventually the day will come. If I said it was this year, you can call in and tell me to take a long walk off a short bridge, because I don't think it's going to be this year. But as I've alluded to throughout this entire show, I think they have a coach.
Yep.
And if Dean Pease sticks around, you know what he can do.
I think the Falcons will be good moving forward. As far as them being cursed, I will quote Michael Scott from one of my favorite shows, The Office. I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
A little stitious. Yeah, no, but that's residue of design, which is what I was just talking about. If you're a bad team for a long time, it's going to feel like you're never going to come up from underneath it until it happens, and it doesn't happen till it happens. And what happens to make it happen? Regime change, get the right people in place, get your quarterback in place, get a GM to draft and sign the right players. All right, Dom, good job. We'll hear from you coming up in a little bit for our always impressive producer six-pack segment. But coming up next, our buddy Matt Verderam from Fansided joins to preview week two of the NFL season and have the Falcons fully rebounded, and they're ready for the Rams in week two. It is the Other Side of the Glass with Chris Thomas right here, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Please say.
This is not a joke.
No.
Back with more of The Other Side of the Glass.
All right, I get it.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dom's producer six-pack coming up at the top of the hour. But before we get into that, on The Other Side of the Glass with Chris Thomas, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we need to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in our buddy Matt Verderam from Fansided. Matt, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Let's start here locally first. Did you see enough through the first 3.5 quarters? We all know what happened at the end of the fourth quarter from the Falcons that they can compete with the Rams on Sunday.
I think they can get some pressure. They can make it a game. Like, you know, Grady Jarrett, obviously, is Grady Jarrett. He can disrupt in the interior. The Rams were out their starting center, Brian Allen. He's out 2 to 4 weeks. They of course, are without Andrew Whitworth, who retired after last season, and Austin Corbett is starting guard last year, who is gone. So the Rams really struggled up front. Atlanta has some capability, at least what we saw week one, to get pressure. That was, of course, last year. Huge problem. They were the worst pass rush team in the NFL. Now, week one, they looked much better against the Saints line, by the way, that is pretty good. So I think the path for Atlanta is going to be you have to pressure Matt Stafford and then let your corners work. You have good corners with Casey Hayward and A.J. Terrell. Maybe you can force a pick. Maybe you get another turnover. So I think for Atlanta, look, they impressed me week one. I'll be very honest. I thought the Falcons were a team that might be ticketed for the number one overall pick this year. They didn't play like that week one. And we'll see if they can sustain it. It's on the road, cross country. Rams had a few extra days to prepare. But I think Atlanta showed something. And they are well coached. So I expect Atlanta to at least stay around that you know, minus 10 line. It's not even covered.
Do you think that the combination of Kyle Pitts and Drake London on the outside is enough to go after a good Rams secondary?
I think they're going to have a balanced attack. Pitts could have a huge day because I don't think the Rams are necessarily great at covering tight ends. Like, they don't have that linebacker or safety who you say, okay, that guy can just kind of dot up Pitts and they'll be okay. I don't think that's the case. First of all, no linebacker or safety one-on-one is going to guard Kyle Pitts unless they're unbelievably athletic. Think like Derwin James. Drake London, we'll see if Ramsey travels with him. He might not. The Rams switch that up at times. But I think if you're the Falcons, like, you need Cordarrelle Patterson in this game, right? You need to stay ahead of the sticks, utilize Marcus Mariota's legs. If they can do that, and they can get themselves in a second and manageable, third and short, then they've got a chance. The Rams, one thing about them, as great as Donald is, yeah, the rest of that front seven, there's nobody in it that you just are overwhelmed by. I mean, Bobby Wagner's a great name. He looked very slow week one. So I think if you're Atlanta, the one thing you do have on offense, you have some speed. Use it. Try to get some misdirection going. I think that would be a way for Atlanta to score a few points in the game.
Talking with Matt Verderam, fan-sided right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the other side of the glass with Chris Thomas taking you up until Atlanta United pregame at 3 o'clock. All right, elsewhere in the NFC, is this finally the year that the bug comes back to bite Aaron Rodgers and the Packers for not giving him enough?
You know, early returns say yes. I think I still believe in the Packers quite a bit. I actually picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and I still feel that way. But part of me picked that because I don't believe in the rest of the NFC either. I was going to pick the Bucs, and the Bucs are so ravaged by injury. That worried me. And then Brady's offseason worries me even more. And the Rams, I was very concerned about their offensive line coming into the year, and that played out spectacularly in week one. The Packers, look, they're going to kill the Bears this weekend because that's what they do. You know, the Bears will go to Lambeau, and the Packers will hang 35 on them, and everybody's just going to drop all their concerns. I will not be one of those people. Like, at some point here with the Packers, you need somebody who on 3rd and 8, on 3rd and 7, in a big spot in the game that you believe can just get open. You can isolate on the back end of a formation, and you can just get that guy one-on-one and say, you know, he's going to win 8 times out of 10. I have no idea who that guy is on the Packers. I have no clue if it's one of these rookies eventually. Is it Randall Cobb? Is it Robert Tonyan? I mean, look, I respect both those players, but I think that's probably a stretch. None of those guys are top receiving options at this point. So I think for Green Bay, they have to just accept the fact they have to play differently. They need to be a team that relies on the running game more, that relies on a defense that has 7 first-round picks. And then Rodgers goes out and makes a half dozen great throws a game. I mean, that's what they're going to have to be. If they don't accept that, and they want to play the game they've played the last few years, where it's just going to be, hey, look, we're going to kill teams with these 15-yard, you know, back shoulder fades. They're not going to do that. They don't have Devontae Adams anymore. So I think there's a path for the Packers to be really good. I don't think that path includes playing the way they've played the last few seasons.
Now, the team that beat them, Matt, the Vikings, I'm a Kirk Cousins supporter. I think he gets a lot of crap in the league just because he's kind of a goofball, and he's made some mistakes in his career. But if you look at his numbers the past 4 or 5 years, he's a very good to elite-level status, just if you look at the stats. Is it the Vikings' year to finally make a deep run with this core?
Well, got off to a fine start week one. They got pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Now, that line was all kinds of beat up, but still, they got home. They got sacks. And offensively, they've been handicapped for years by Mike Zimmer. Okay, Mike Zimmer has a lot of positives about his coaching style, but he also has a lot of negatives. And one of the negatives was they played an archaic offensive system. Their scheme was from the 1980s. So now you know, you have Kevin McConnell in there, comes over from the Rams, former offensive coordinator, and you saw in week one, they looked like a much different team. They were screaming ways to get Justin Jefferson open. They did it consistently. Justin Jefferson had a huge day, over 170 yards and two touchdowns. I think they're going to continuously see them evolving on the offensive side. They have Thielen. They have Cook as well. I like Irv Smith as a breakout candidate tight end. So I think as long as the line holds up, which is the big question mark for me, they can be very good offensively. Look, I'm with you with Cousins. Cousins is not an elite quarterback, but he's better than people think he is. And if you look at his numbers year in and year out, he puts up big-time numbers. Now, he's not Mahomes. He's not Joe Burrow. He's not Allen. But he's a top 12 quarterback in the league. That's plenty good, especially in an NFC that is not especially deep this year. So my big question with Minnesota is just defensively. Like, I love the ad of Za'Darius Smith. They've got a couple other big-time guys like Danielle Hunter, Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith. Do they have enough around those guys? Are they good enough at corner, for example? If they are, they could be a team that absolutely wins the NFC North and maybe even threatens in the NFC.
Now, you mentioned Brady and the Bucs a little earlier. This is the second time in just a couple weeks, Matt, that he's come out and he's referenced his age, and it hurt after he woke up after the game, and he's got a lot of bleep going on. They've lost, I think at this point, 4/5 of their starting offensive line projected from a year ago. I mean, I know they look good in week one, but I'm actually questioning if the Bucs are going to be able to keep it together and if Brady's going to be able to, for the first time in his career, really be faced with off-the-field adversity that could get to him a little bit.
Well, we're going to find out here these next three games. They're at the Superdome, which is a very tough game. I think they're going to lose this weekend. The Saints are a problem for them every year anyway. And the Bucs are just all beat up. I mean, you know, Godwin's out. Donovan Smith, I know, is doubtful, but I would be shocked if he plays. We'll see with Mike Evans. We'll see with Julio Jones. You know, they are just missing a million guys. Obviously, other guys are already out for a year, guys like Stinney and Jensen. So I think it's a rough game for them. Then they play the Packers. Then they play the Chiefs. I mean, we're gonna find out exactly how good Tampa is here over these next 3 weeks. I don't put a ton of stock in that game with Dallas. Dallas is awful. Dallas can't block. They have one weapon that matters. Defensively, Dallas is halfway decent, which is that'll keep the Cowboys in the playoff race, I think, if they can get anything out of the quarterback spot while Prescott's out. And maybe they can't. That might be the end of it anyway. But the Buccaneers scored 19 points, scored one touchdown. You know, I don't know. You know, you just wonder if they get in the games against really good teams. And again, next 3 weeks should be interesting, especially weeks 3 and 4. Like, what do they look like? Every great thing comes to an end at some point. Brady, I would never bet against the man for obvious reasons, but this has been, let's just call it what it is. I mean, this has been a very weird, turbulent offseason for both the Buccaneers and for Brady. He retires. He unretires. They essentially get rid of Arians and move him upstairs, and now Bowles is the head coach, and Brady takes a hiatus during camp. Now he's back. There's all this stuff about what's going on away from the field. I think the Buccaneers are very talented. I also think the Buccaneers have a lot of problems right now, and I don't know if they're going to go away.
Matt Verderam, Fansided, hanging out with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I mean, listen, I'm not going to ask you to put your hot take hat on, but you can if you want. That Monday night football game, the way that thing ended, man, I mean, I know Russ is there and he's going to be there for a long time and they got a lot of talent, but ooh, that head coaching decision, I think there's a lot of people that are clenching their fists real tight in Denver right now.
I don't even know if it's a hot take to say, first of all, that was by far the worst coaching decision of the week. I mean, that decision, I got to tell you, watching the game, when it was 4th and 5, at the 46, I didn't even consider that they were going to kick a field goal. Like, at no point, until I saw McManus on the field, did I ever think that they were going to kick a field goal. And they didn't call timeout. I just thought they were having a communication issue, maybe a headset issue, and because they have all these new pieces, maybe they weren't figuring it out. They purposely, obviously, ended up running it down. They kicked, they missed, but then they get the timeout from Seattle. And then I thought, well, they're definitely going to run them off the field now after that kick. Then they did it again. And McManus, to his credit, actually put forth a very good effort. He just missed. But stuff like that. Like, if I'm a Broncos fan, look, if they had come out with a really bad game plan, that would have bothered me. But, okay, it happens. You know, I thought the Chiefs on Thursday night had a bad game plan. They overcame and they won the game. The Broncos didn't lose because they had a bad game plan. They lost because they were undisciplined. They took a bunch of penalties. They had two fumbles inside the 1-yard line. But also, like, that decision to kick a field goal there, That's insane. Like, that's a decision that a 12-year-old wouldn't make playing Madden. Like, there is no justification for that, let alone with a $250 million quarterback you just traded two firsts and 2 seconds for. That's the kind of thing, if I'm a Broncos fan, I walk away and go, can he coach? Does he know what's going on? Like, this is basic stuff. This is football 101. If you can't execute that decision against a team that you ought to beat 10 times out of 10, I'm very concerned about it, frankly, as far as Hackett and being the man who's running the show.
All right, last one, Matt. Explain this to me. Patriots looked awful in week one. Steelers beat a division rival. I know they got the big injury with Watt. But the Steelers are getting 2.5 points at home against what looks to be a bad Patriots team. Why?
You know, that's a great question. I wrote all my picks out on Thursday over at FanSided, and I looked at that line for a solid 3 minutes and tried to figure out why that line was the way it was. I completely agree with you. I think it's the weirdest line of the week. It's the weirdest line of the first 2 weeks. I can't understand. I watched the entirety of both the Steelers games, and I went back and I watched the Pats game. The Patriots were atrocious in that game. Atrocious. They could not move the ball. They couldn't block. They couldn't get open. Mac Jones had a QBR of 9.7, and he earned it. I watched every snap of it. He earned every bit of that 9.7. The Steelers are not good offensively. They can't block. Trubisky's what he is. He's essentially a backup quarterback masquerading as a starter. But even without Watt, they have a very good defense. They have a very good front with Highsmith and Hayward especially. You have Fitzpatrick in the back end. They're at home. I think the Steelers are absolutely the better team. I think they should win the game, and they will win the game. So I'm with you. I do not understand. You know, maybe Vegas just says, well, Belichick doesn't typically lose two times in a row. Belichick's also never had a team that without talent. And this team, to me, who's the all-pro on the Patriots? Matthew Slater on special teams? Maybe Judon? I mean, that's it. There's nobody else on that roster who's going to really threaten you.
Matt, thank you so much for the time. Check him out on FanSided, Matt Verderam. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, when we come back, it is time for the always entertaining, never failing, high risk taking, jump ship making, producer six pack of questions from our guy Dom C. He goes sports, he goes entertainment, he goes pop culture, maybe a music question. You never know. That's why you got to stick right here. Thanks so much to Matt Verderam of FanSided. A great NFL conversation with him. Dom C and the producer six pack when we get back. Chris Thomas with the other side of the glass. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.